This podcast is sponsored by ebookit.com, self-publishing solutions for the independent author and small press. Visit us today at ebookit.com.
Welcome to the Toastmasters Podcast, the official podcast of Toastmasters International. Hello, everybody. This is Greg Gazin.
And I'm Ryan Levesque.
Every year, we have the delightful pleasure of introducing our newest incoming Toastmasters International President. And of course, this year, there's no exception. Ryan, who is our honored guest for today?
Joining us today from Delta, British Columbia, Canada, is distinguished Toastmaster Margaret Page. Margaret is an entrepreneur, an investor, and the founder and co-founder of several companies. A Toastmaster since 2003, Margaret is a member of three clubs, the Advanced Speakers Club of Vancouver, Unicorn Toastmasters of Richmond, and Spotlight Speakers of Richmond. Margaret is a member of the board of directors for Toastmasters International. And Greg, as you suggested, the impetus for our conversation today is that Margaret is the president-elect of Toastmasters International. She will officially step into that position during the 2021 virtual convention. International president-elect Margaret Page, welcome to the Toastmasters podcast.
It's an absolute delight to be here with you today, Ryan and Greg, and of course those that are listening.
Margaret, you are obviously successful at a very young age going through your profile and the things that you've accomplished. I am curious, why Toastmasters? How did you come to join the organization?
Great question. In 2001, I was asked to speak to an association group in Las Vegas, Nevada for about 1,700 people. And I couldn't even imagine, I couldn't fathom that. There was absolutely no way. So when the invitation was extended, I said no. And I put it out of my head. A couple months later, I was at that convention or conference with my managers, of the business that I owned at the time. And for the evening's entertainment, the gentleman whose stores came number two to ours being number one was invited up on stage and sharing success strategies. And of course, my managers looked at him and they looked at me and their eyebrows went up and, you know, why is he up there and why are you not up there sharing our story? That was a sad point. All I could do was look down at the tablecloth and the stains that had shown up over dinner. I was so disappointed that I had let them down. You know, up to that point in my life, I had avoided any opportunity where there was public speaking and I was hurting myself, maybe my business, maybe my children by being a role model. But in that particular moment, I had let down this group of young people that had worked so hard to support me. And I thought I can do that no longer. So about a year and a half later, 2 years, still took me that long. That's how great my fear was. But I finally stumbled into a Toastmaster meeting. And after that, it took me 3 months before I did my first table topics. So that's the hill I had to climb to become an effective communicator.
Did you seek out Toastmasters or did someone approach you?
It had been recommended to me. Yes, it had been recommended to me. So.
Yeah, I was sharing with Greg earlier this morning, Margaret, that it's always so fascinating to me that every single president of Toastmasters International was once a brand new member who walked into a room, perhaps feeling like a fish out of water, saying, what is this organization that I've been invited to? And do I have a future here? Obviously, you have had a very bright future at Toastmasters, but where in the journey did you decide that you might like to throw your hat in the ring and see if you could use your talents and experience to serve the international organization as president?
Gee, that didn't happen until I was an international director. I only ever saw as far as the headlights went of that next opportunity? Could I unlock that door? Could I make a difference? And then I was willing to, you know, poke my head in, looked around. Yes, I can make a difference here. And this is a place that I can grow as well. But I know there are some people that start off as district leadership and think they want to be president someday. In fact, I spoke to a member a couple months ago that had already charted the course and they plan to be international president in the year 2032, whatever the case may be. But that was not my rooting. My rooting was just as far as the headlights, that next step, I can make a difference here. And then was willing to raise my hand and walk through the door after it was unlocked.
Now, Margaret, obviously you've learned a lot of things going through the ranks, making your way all the way up to president. And I know I'm just going to put you on the spot and ask you, what's one thing that you could share that you've learned about leadership?
Well, I've learned an awful lot about people. You know, I've always said that leadership was about two things. It's about results and relationships, or performance and people. And in the profit world, certainly the emphasis is on generating the money, bringing in the income. And we have to do that, of course, at Toastmasters International, or we wouldn't survive. We couldn't exist. But being in the volunteer work, you can't fire people and you can't hire them. You can't pay them some money to do something. So you become very focused on people. And that has served me well in my career. It served me well in my family, and it has served me well in Toastmasters. I feel I'm a better person because of what I've learned about leadership in Toastmasters. We're a people-optimizing organization, and it is all about serving those around you and helping them to step into their full potential. And that brings so much meaning to my life, more meaning than perhaps, you know, making some money at something, that you're making a positive difference in somebody else's life.
Super.
You mentioned your career a moment ago, Margaret. And I wanted to comment on your bio. As a serial entrepreneur, your bio is so impressive, extensive, too many companies and accolades to list for a short show like this. But I'd love if you could peel back the onion a little bit and give us a taste of some of the different companies you've run, that you've founded, co-founded along your illustrious career.
Right. Thank you. Well, I started off in the being at the right place at the right time in Lloydminster, Alberta, right at the time when there was a lot of research going on or a lot of exploration in the oil industry. And my husband and I, at the time, we had a cat, a caterpillar. And so we were called upon to build some roads into some leases, and that just it grew and grew, and the ripple effect of that. We were farmers, so we had farmland. I raised thoroughbred horses. My family had been in the thoroughbred racing industry for a number of years. So we had cattle, Black Angus cattle that we raised, horses that we raised for sale and for racing, oil field construction company. Then we went into tire retreading, eventually ended up in Las Vegas, Nevada, half the year because of the severe winter conditions in Alberta. And of course, the exchange rate was very different, Canada, U.S. So needed to develop a business in the U.S. in order to generate some U.S. funds. So we created a business there that was a hair care franchise, or purchased into, not created, a purchased into a hair care franchise, into real estate. So it was always one thing led to another. And if you're a serial entrepreneur yourself, you know it's oh shiny, and off you go on to another. I liken the difference between a business person is you have expertise in some area, you develop a business around it. But an entrepreneur is you are in the business of being in business. And so you see opportunities, you go, you grab for it, and turn it into a business.
So obviously this year you've taken on a new venture, a volunteer venture as president for the next year. So let's shift a little bit to that just for a few moments. Last year, it's obvious, or I should say this year even, clubs had to show resilience. And it looks like this year so far that we're starting to emerge. There's going to be a huge transition. And of course, it's going to be different in different countries, right? As things, as we emerge out of this current situation. As our leader, what are some of your thoughts on this? What are some of the things that you could say to incoming executives of new clubs? What are some of the things that you could say to members to help them get started for this new year as they find themselves in uncharted waters?
Sure. Thank you for that. My message next year will be build back stronger. I think we're at the portal, the gateway to a whole new world, to a Toastmasters version 2.0, if you will, and many members have been showing the way. I know last year when we were in the midst of the pandemic, I really felt like it was an Alberta snowstorm. You couldn't see the road ahead. You couldn't see the ditch. You didn't know where safety was. And I kept thinking, follow the white line, which is our mission and our vision. And members from around the world have been showing the way. You know, we're a grassroots movement, and members showed the way by visiting clubs all over the world and bringing back better practices to their clubs. Yes, we have lost a lot of clubs, and we're deeply saddened by that. And we have lost a lot of members. But we've also grown tremendously. We have three models now. We have the on-site, and we have the online, and we have a hybrid model. And the hyper specialty opportunities that are available now, because geographic boundaries or borders are gone. If you're staying in the virtual or even the hybrid model, geography is no longer a limiting factor to your membership. Last year, we saw record numbers at TLIs, record numbers at club officer training, record numbers at conferences, record numbers at the international convention, near 60,000 people, when prior to that, you know, 2,000 to 3,000 would attend the international convention, and many that did not know about Toastmasters before the pandemic. So we have lost a lot, but we have huge opportunities. I heard about such specialty clubs as engineers from the Philippines who are living globally, or parliamentary procedure, or superheroes. There's a club for superheroes, virtual improv. Whatever you have an idea, a concept that you want to meet with other people and practice your speaking and leadership based on that interest, now the door, or that opening, that gateway, that portal is here, and you have the opportunity to step through it. We're charting new territories. We're just like explorers were hundreds of years ago. I think it's very exciting time to be the international president of Toastmasters International.
Margaret, I am already finding myself on Team Margaret Page. I'm getting so caught up in your enthusiasm and your excitement, and I'm starting to catch some of the imagination, both that's already out there in the Toastmasters world, but as you're articulating it, and this concept of build back stronger, I think is so powerful and engaging. Could you give us maybe some more specifics, some tips or ideas or strategies of how clubs can actually make this happen, how individuals can help the organization to build back stronger?
Sure. So a couple things. We've identified in the past what a quality club is, and there's really four components to that. So a professional program, variety in your meetings, and a positive supportive environment. So that's outstanding evaluations that help a speaker feel proud, moves them one step along in their skills and learning, and above all, stellar mentoring. You know, be the kind of mentor you either wish you had or that you would like to be, take mentoring to a whole new level. It's not just about ticking off things on a checklist. Is be that lifeline for someone that helps others step into their full potential. And of course, the other piece about quality clubs is member achievement, recognized and celebrating both personal, professional, and even the inner growth, and be a people optimizer, as we've mentioned before. Kind of part two of building back stronger is too often we have seen 20 as the ceiling, or clubs aiming for 20. But 20 is really the minimum number in order to create a club. So I'm going to challenge clubs to look and think of the sweet spot of clubs is 28 to 32 membership. And that's depending on if you're 60 minutes, 90 minutes, or 120 minutes. In Dr. Smedley's time, clubs averaged about 30 members per club. And so even today, more so, we have people's time is, they're often in overwhelm. So many things are pulling their attention away. So we see fewer people coming to meetings. So it's imperative that we have membership around 28 to 32 so that you don't have to take on two or three roles, so that you can learn at a nice pace and be able to serve others around you at a higher level. So I encourage all clubs to have a recruitment plan throughout the year for the VP PR and VP membership to create that, and have at least 4 membership building events throughout the year. Sometimes in the past we've done, you have a one-off event, and so we're missing out on that momentum that each one brings. And so I'll also invite them to ask for each one to bring one. If every member in Toastmasters, current member, brought one member, we would double in a year and probably couldn't handle that kind of growth. But invite each one to bring one. And I have an individual piece as well that I've been speaking about probably for about a year, and I will invite all members to do, and I call it my 3-2-1 model. And that's after each meeting, catalog 3 things you learned in the meeting. I do it in my iPhone. In one of my clubs, we have breakouts right after the general evaluation. You break out with 2 or 3 other members in a breakout room virtually, and you share the 2 or 3 things you've learned in this meeting. Now, that's a great trainer trick, is to accelerate your learning, is at the end of it, don't just rely on the general evaluator. What did you learn at this meeting? And if you cataloged it, you can next meeting open it up. Oh, yes, now let me incorporate that into what I'm doing. Number 2 of my 3-2-1 model is about giving 2 unique compliments, and they must be unique. The person can't have heard it before, and it's not about their evaluation, but it means that you need to become a real good observer of others so you can share what their magic is, what their uniqueness is, whatever is amazing about them. Let them know, because sometimes as we go through day-to-day life, we don't get to hear it enough, or we forget about what we're amazing at. Number 1 on the 3-2-1 is send a note of gratitude to someone who made it possible for you to grow and learn today. So someone that made that meeting possible, and just show that note of gratitude. So that's my 3-2-1 model that I am inviting members to join in and participate with next year and in the years to come.
3-2-1. That is absolutely fantastic. And I love the idea for getting people to share what they took away, because sometimes someone might share what they learned and you realize, oh yeah, that's right, I never thought of that. So what you're doing is you're sparking these thoughts, you're sparking these ideas. Obviously, you're passionate about everything that you do. Actually, just a little curious, just to step outside of Toastmasters for a moment, what are some of the other things that you're passionate about?
Gosh, I'm a very good gardener. I like to garden. I enjoy doing Sudoku every day. And I'm very passionate about my grandsons. I have 3 grandsons, and they're the love of my life. and I enjoy every minute that I get to spend with them.
Awesome.
Margaret, what kind of impact on your family do you think serving as international president will have?
That's a great question, because when I was international director, my grandson, when the convention was in Vancouver, my oldest grandson came with me and escorted me at the convention and had a really good time. And at that particular time, I was considering, or before that, let me step back, a couple months before that, I was making the decision with my family if I should run for a second vice president. And when I spoke to them, I said, you know, this will mean that I may not have all the time that you had hoped that I could spend with you, or maybe not spend with you as you become a teenager. But I want you to think about that, because I will need your support in the years ahead. And my grandson said, Grandma, I want you to do it. And I thought, I wonder if this is, you know, that they just see a grandiose title, or, you know, he had been to a conference and knew and understand what that was all about. And he said, I want you to do it because you love Toastmasters. And so that really warmed my heart that he was actually thinking about what I loved and cared about, and that it was so visible to him. And I hope by me stepping up and doing that, that I'm a good role model and he doesn't back down in life from opportunities that come his way or serving his community in a more dynamic, robust, profound way. I hope that he will be able to step forward with that as well, because he's watched and observed, and that I've been a good role model for him.
Typically, one of the roles of the international president involves touching down on the ground in various parts of the world, being with the people in person. Greg alluded to us pulling out of, hopefully, the pandemic that's been afflicting us the past couple of years. But do you know yet if in-person travel and visits will be part of your schedule? Is it too soon to tell?
Well, we're certainly hoping that that is the case. I would love to be able to spend time in some other districts. But if not, I am fully prepared to keep visiting districts. I'll bet the current board has visited more districts, more clubs, more divisions, more areas than any other board in past history. So I feel that we're more connected now. And of course, thanks to our current international president, or the 2021 international president, Richard Peck, with his world tour of clubs around the world, that we are much closer to the clubs, to the members, than we have been in a number of years. And hopefully, even when we get to going in person, we can still remain that closeness, that ability to still serve our members from afar, even when we can't fly there.
Richard Peck, we did speak with him earlier. He did tell us a little bit about his virtual tour. And in fact, it's on our radar to speak to him about his entire world tour. So we're looking forward to that conversation. And I'm sure our audience will too.
In fact, that'll probably air before this episode.
Yeah, probably. Earlier on, while we were getting set up, you shared with us a couple of stories that I think we all felt really need to be said. So would you be so kind as to share those couple of stories with us?
Absolutely. You know, I have been so moved by members around the world. A member spoke at a meeting I was at recently that said this was his 600th club that he's been at. And another member said they visited all 143 countries. I believe she had an article in the Toastmaster magazine as well. But what really touched my heart so deeply was the challenges that they were having in India, or currently still having because of the Delta variant in the pandemic, when members have gone above and beyond their Toastmaster club and in fact have without a doubt showed that Toastmasters is where leaders are made. They have been driving respirators around, setting up doctor's visits for people, moving people to hospitals, giving plazas, delivering plaza, going above and beyond. And when a Toastmaster perished because of COVID, the members rallied around and contributed money so that his widow and son and parents could survive in the months ahead. And so I'm just so heartwarming about Toastmasters and the difference that we make in people's lives, not just building communication skills, but definitely demonstrating those leadership skills that we make a difference in a community. And then I was at a conference when I was so moved by a member. She was receiving a DTM medal in the immediate past. District director was interviewing her. However, she wasn't answering the questions. The past district director was giving the answers as if she had been asked the questions prior and she was answering for her. So I wasn't quite sure why she wasn't speaking up, although she was sitting in the frame. And at the end, the immediate past district director said, "Marcia, would you like to say a few words?" And Marcia said, "I don't know if I can do this, but I'm going to give it a try. I want you all to know that 6 weeks ago, I was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer and told I only had a couple weeks to live. And my goal was to make it today so that I could receive the Distinguished Toastmaster Award."
Wow.
We were all in tears. And when I last spoke to Marcia, she was, you know, she has hopes that their prayers and their thoughts are supporting her as she continues to fight and battle this. So it's those kind of things that make me so proud of being part of this community. And we are a community and a family.
That's absolutely heartwarming. And it's almost like an unintended consequence of Toastmasters, the things that can happen because you are a Toastmaster and how Toastmasters just rally around each other. Just incredibly amazing.
And challenges bring out the best in people oftentimes.
That's true.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Margaret Page, it has been an absolute pleasure to connect with you today, and we are looking forward to seeing you within the pages of the Toastmaster magazine each month, reading your column, hopefully visiting in person in various parts of the world, if not at least online. And if members or prospective members who are listening to today's episode have questions for you, want to follow up with you, what would be the best way for them to do that?
Thank you. And it has been a delight to be with you here today. I've enjoyed our conversations for sure. The email address for the International President is interpresident@toastmasters.org. So interpresident@toastmasters.org.
Thanks again, Margaret. We wish you all the best.
Isn't it about time you published that book you've been thinking about? We can help with that. At ebookit.com, we've been providing authors and small presses with ebook publishing services since 2010. Visit us today at ebookit.com and let us know how we can help you.